Hello and welcome to Homeopathy at Home with Melissa. If you're ready to be independent in helping your family with acute and chronic conditions in a more natural way, if you're interested in learning how to use homeopathy at home, and if you enjoy positive, encouraging messages, then this is the podcast for you. Click subscribe, grab some coffee or tea, a pen and a notebook, and get ready to learn how to use homeopathy at home in your family. The information in this podcast and its transcription is to be used for education only. The suggestions here should not replace the advice of your medical doctor, and you should never stop any prescription medications without the advice and direction of your doctor. I am not a physician. I am not prescribing. And I am not making healthcare decisions for you. It is your choice to use the information provided here and in any future communications with me regarding homeopathy and natural healthcare.
Welcome back to Homeopathy at Home with Melissa. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Bree, it's great to see you for Materia Medica Monday.
Yeah, and ironically, we are recording on a Monday. We never record on Mondays.
That's right.
So this is fun. Mm-hmm. So today for Materia Medica Monday, we are going to be talking about conium maculatum.
Yeah. And so I am going to hit the highlights from Dr. Murphy's Materia Medica, 4th edition. So I'm literally just, I have my Materia Medica open and I'm going through it. And I don't always do that. We don't usually do that. We usually have, you know, notes and some extra little things, but that's just what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go through the Materia Medica and pull out just the keynotes.
All right, let's do it.
All right. So heartburn. Did you know that? I did not know conium mac was for heartburn.
No, we've already, you guys, we were just glancing over them and like, wow, I didn't realize it. There was another one I didn't realize it was for. Arthritis.
Yep.
So we'll get there.
Yeah. Multiple sclerosis, muscular weakness, nerve disorders, paralysis, prostate cancer, trembling, tumors, and weakness. I do just want to say, since I just named two really big conditions, MS and prostate cancer, that we are not treating cancer. We're not treating conditions. We would possibly choose conium mac to address the person who has one of these conditions to strengthen their body so that their body can fight. So you would need to decide on your own. Do you need to get, you know, allopathic treatment along with homeopathy, or what can you do? So I just want to say that. So conium mac is an ancient remedy, and it has the ascending paralysis. So it ends in respiration failure. So conium has difficult gait, trembling, sudden loss of strength while walking. The person becomes gradually weak, progressive debility, weakness of the body and mind, trembling. This is a great gland remedy, especially breasts and ovaries that are affected with engorgement and stony indurations. Again, ascending symptoms, paralysis. I think that's all I have to say in my part, Bree. Useful in old age. Yeah. Just one more thing. Useful in old age for those persons who become old early. Troubles at the change of life. Old maids, bachelors. For youth who suffer from ill effects and fatigue and the flu. There you go. You can do the mine now.
So for, I was going to say at the end, it talks about people in old age. And in the mind, it starts talking about Alzheimer's or poor memory. So symptoms similar to Alzheimer's disease, slow, impaired comprehension, difficulty understanding, It can have depression, grief after the death of a loved one, especially after a prolonged illness. So it's so crazy how specific. Like if you were to even look up just grief, there's many type girl of, or grief of disappointed love. And then there's this one, grief after death of a loved one, after a prolonged illness. Consolation aggravates, similar to Nightmare. Excitement causes mental depression. I'm reading the mind part now, just I don't know if I said that. They feel as if they were to cry and swallow and choke as a, if there's a lump in the throat. Insanity, periodical or alternating, superstitious. I saw superstitious a few places in our other notes too, so I did want to say that one.
Mm-hmm.
For abdomen, it's not really a huge one for the abdomen, but it does have a few things. Distension, worse after milk, weakness, and a few other things, but nothing, not anything huge there. For the back, it can be good for spinal injuries, ill effects of bruises and shocks to the spine. Like Melissa had mentioned, it's a good glandular remedy. So for the breasts, maybe before menses or during, for breasts that get larger and become painful, worse with walking, like worse with every step, wants to like press and hold. So that's something to consider for hormones. I remember that as a teenager. So I don't know if it's more severe than her early 20s. Again, if there's breast cancer present, we're not treating that, but supporting the body, like your immune system, if that is part of the picture. Stitches in breasts and in nipples, and causations, doesn't have a lot there. Not a lot for the chest or constitution. But I did say, okay, so in the constitution area, it again mentions corresponds to elderly persons, old, feeble men, and I love how it keeps saying old maids and bachelors. So it's just, we have to say that it's funny. I think it's sort of funny. There was one thing in there when it said persons who are easily intoxicated with stimulants. So does that just mean like sensitive to those things? Like even caffeine or coffee is a stimulant, right?
Yeah.
So maybe some people who are really sensitive to those things may want to consider conium.
Interesting. So let's keep going through the body parts. The ears might feel stopped up when they blow their nose. They might be oversensitive to noise. They might have photophobia and excessive lacrimation. So talking about the eyes, the lids, goodness gracious. the eyelids might feel heavy, droopy, worse outside, burning in the eyes, cataracts after eye injury. Vision becomes more blurred when vexed. Their face might be moist, and their submaxillary glands might be swollen and hard. The menses in the female might be irregular, too late, scanty, dysmenorrhea, withdrawing down the thighs, a rash before the menses, itching, leucorrhea, cervicitis, induration, enlarged ovaries, ill effects of repressed sexual desire or suppressed menses or from excessive indulgence. And the food cravings are for salt, coffee, and sour things. Aversion to bread. Man, do I wish I had an aversion to bread.
Right? I was literally going to say, I don't know I've ever heard someone say that. So if I ever hear that,
yeah,
you have to be meconium.
Who has an aversion to bread?
You have to be a conium. Why are we saying all of these words like this today? And I just said meconium.
Oh, meconium.
Okay, I did see something I wanted to say because I have heard this.
Okay.
Back up in the female one, it said motion of child painful during pregnancy. I have heard women say that it's like excruciatingly painful or even just painful when the baby moves.
Interesting.
It's not common. I've heard it a lot, but I have heard women say that. And I've always, sometimes it's uncomfortable. I've never experienced pain, But I have heard that some women say that. So
yeah.
Noticed
it. I used to love to feel a move. I was like all the time. Come on. Every single time. I just loved it so much. Every single time. So I can't imagine if it was painful. That would be hard.
I know.
Yeah. So their head, the head section, they might have a stupefying headache with nausea and vomiting of mucus with a feeling as of a foreign body under the skull. I've never heard anybody describe that before. Sick headaches with the inability to urinate, bruised semilateral pains in the head, and bursting fullness sensation in the brain during a headache. One side might feel numb and cold, and they might have hot spots on their head. They can have heart palpitations, worse for exertion, drinking, heart palpitations while having a stool, and pulse unequal and irregular. Their kidneys, they might have difficulty passing urine. The urine starts and stops, dribbling in old men, and urine feels very hot. Interrupted discharge, cutting and burning after urination. Their limbs, axillary glands, pain with numb feeling down the arm. Perspiration of hands, putting feet on the chair relieves the pain. Muscular weakness. Their liver, severe aching in and around the liver. Chronic jaundice and pain in the right hypochondrium. Shortness of breath in the lungs. Cough on taking a deep breath, constant tormenting cough from dry spot in the larynx or tickling in the chest and throat pit, worse when lying down, laughing, talking, and during pregnancy. So, and they have to sit up. I never would have thought of Konium Mac for shortness of breath and this kind of cough. So, Wow. The male can be affected by, impotence. And prostatitis, dribbling of prostatic fluid, prostate cancer, enlarged testicles. And the modalities, so remember, a modality is what makes it worse and what makes it better. So most remedies have modalities listed in the Materia Medica. And your modalities of conium. So some people say conium. I say conium. Some people say conium. And I actually think it's the UK, my UK friends who say conium.
All right. They can say things however they want, and I will believe it because
I agree. So their modalities are better while fasting, better from letting limbs hang down, better walking bent, better sitting down, better stooping, better walking, better motion, better pressure, better sun, better dark. So isn't that odd how it can be better for both?
I was just going to say, well, in a better motion, and we're going to talk about the Banerjee protocol, but typically vertigo is not better with motion. So I'm in, but we don't have to fit the whole picture perfectly.
Well, and then you see all the worse for, all these are worse. Worse from seeing moving objects, celibacy, that's a big one. There was a lot about celibacy in our notes that this person is worse ever since celibacy. Before and during menses, old age, alcohol, pressure of tight clothing, raising arms, standing, lying down with head low, turning in bed. Anytime I've had vertigo, it hit me when I turned over in bed. Worse jarring after exertion, bodily or mental injury, worse at night, cold, taking cold, snowy air, worse in the spring, and worse dry, hot air. So we see a lot of what seem to be contradictions, right? That they're, well, is it, which one is it? Well, it's the, let me just look at one. So it's the motion that is the issue. It's the weather that's the issue. So it can be any kind of weather, like, you know, it's talking about snowy, spring, dry, hot air. So you're talking about snow, you're talking about winter, spring, and summer, right? So it can be, it's the extremes of those things. And this is also a remedy in the mouth for toothache. That's worse for cold food, but not cold drinks. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I actually can relate because I can drink cold drinks, mm-hmm. but eating like an acai bowl or like ice cream with cold, like cookie dough in it.
Yep.
Can't chew it.
Same. I'm the same.
I never thought about that till you just said that.
Yeah. Hmm. There's not much for the nose. There's maybe frequent sneezing, obstinate obstruction of the nose. They might have tremulous weakness after every stool. And the sensations that this person might describe are as if a hoop, band, or something tight was around the parts, deficiency of irritability of the body. The body has very little sensation, darting from within outwards, tension in inner parts, also in outer parts, prickling in the bones. Do you want to take it from skin?
Yeah. So the skin may be greenish, like an old bruise, yellow skin, yellow fingernails, red spots turning yellow or green. That reminds me of like an old bruise, like they just said. Glands enlarged and indurated. For sleep. Oh, this was one. Night and morning sweat with offensive odor and smarting in skin. So for sleep, as soon as one sleeps, they sweat, even when they close, when they're laying down and closing their eyes, drowsy during the day, inclination to sleep in the evening with falling down of the lids, disturbed and unrefreshing sleep, starting of the limbs during sleep, anxious dreams, nightmares. For stomach, they may have attacks of a sick feeling, with painful spasms of the stomach or distension, especially after milk. It's better from eating. The aggravation comes a few hours after meals. Acrid heartburn and acid belchings, worse on going to bed. Acidity and burning. Painful spot, the level of the sternum. That's so interesting. I never considered it for heartburn. Nausea and vomiting during pregnancy. Heartburn in pregnant women. Especially when going to bed at night. Wow. Add that one to our pregnancy list. Seriously, with my second baby, never in my life. I used to make fun of my husband, kind of like, oh, you poor thing, you have heartburn, you can't sleep, you know, like thinking you're being a wimp. And I remember that first night, I'm like, I might die. This hurts so bad. I had to sit up all night. So listen, there you go. Keep this on your list, ladies.
Yep.
So temperature. You may have coldness of the nape, hot flushes, or sweat on as soon as you're laying down to go to sleep or closing your eyes. So that seems to be a repetitive one. The throat, not a lot there either, but the feeling of the lump in the throat seems to also be a pattern. Like feeling like there's something that might come up or that it went down the wrong way and stopped. Vertigo. So vertigo is initially what many of you probably think of when you think of conium, because it's part of the Banerjee protocol for vertigo. But this is for vertigo, like Melissa said, when lying down and when turning over in bed, when turning head to the side or you're turning eyes, worse with shaking the head, slight noise or conversation of others, especially worse on the left side.
Yeah. So the Banerjee protocol for vertigo is tellurium metallicum 200C every 3 days and conium mac 6C twice per week. So you might be thinking every 3 days and twice per week is pretty much the same thing, but the Banerjee protocol does not say to mix them together. And if you go every 3 days, you're not taking it on the same 2 days of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people do just combine those two remedies and take them twice a week. So, you know, when we're following Banerjee protocols, really should do it exactly the way it says. But I will say most people just go ahead and combine those two and take them twice per week. So that's Coney Mac. Interesting.
Yeah, I feel like It was interesting. I got some new information. I think the ones that stuck out to me a lot were using for elderly people.
Yep.
And the heartburn, honestly.
Yeah.
Yep. So those were two things I did not know. And I'm going to remember.
Yeah. It's kind of a big remedy too. It's several pages.
Yeah, it is. It is bigger. So I love that because I love just always learning, like adding to the knowledge and not staying with the same remedies for the same things. Or what I found too, and we've talked about this before, in the Banerjee Protocol remedies, there are sometimes we assume that that means those remedies are going to directly address, like that's one of their big things. So we would think vertigo is like the biggest thing for conium because it's in the protocol. But actually, there's so many other things that conium's for. There's so many other things tellurium met is for.
Mm-hmm.
So love it. Thank you guys so much for being here. We know you love these. So thank you for joining us again.
Thanks for joining. See you next time.